Seemed like 6 months, right? They both of them served here early in their married life. Her, even before they were married. Looks like they're busy. It's my mom. She can do whatever she wants. One testing, one do. That's my mom. Come on up. So Mike was my dad's assistant for how long, Mike? Not long enough. It's funny. And Vicki, you were here before Mike in helping plant the church, Pioneer. You want to say anything to the congregation? Then we'll turn it over to your husband, Mike.
Yeah. First of all, I just want to thank you so much. Happy birthday, Christ Community. Christ Community Church, of course, plays a big part in my life. And I just want to say thank you to this wonderful congregation, how you honored our patriarch of John Sr. I know there's a lot of behind-the-scenes things that you did, and I want to thank you for that, because I know that your heart was there, and it was just a most beautiful service that I have ever attended, and so I thank you for that. We all have stories. I just want to let you know my story, just really short, as far as Christ Community goes. I had graduated from Bible school in 1974, and I did not know where I wanted to go. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew that I wanted to help somewhere. And the Lord, I believe, orders our steps. He orders our steps. And so if you're here for the first time, just know that God's ordering your steps. You're not here by accident, but God orders our steps. And so the Lord connected me. I can just imagine in heaven the Lord saying, well, I've got your steps ordered, Vicki. I've got a family for you, and I also have a foundation for you. And that family, of course, was the Nordstrom family. And I honor the patriarch of John and Phyllis Nordstrom. They have taught me so much. And I lived with them for a whole year. And I was so blessed to be around their table, some of the stories that they shared. And so that was my connection with them. And so the Lord has been so faithful. And I just thank him so much for that connection and that love. And bless you so much.
Amen.
Let's give Mike and Vicki a hand of welcome and thank you. You're on your own. Thank you.
Have you heard there's a birthday party going on today? 54 years. Welcome to everybody. Yes, there's no candles being blown out in heaven today. There's more being lit. And we're so glad to be in this house with you today. My name is Mike, married to that beautiful young lady that just spoke to you. That was Vicki. And I'm very thankful for our relationship personally, but it's all founded upon the foundation we received from John and Phyllis Nordstrom and the planting that took place into our life back so many, many years ago. I'm sorry, I don't always go to church looking like this.
You look good, Mike.
Do I? I was concerned because there's, you know, if there's any perfectionist in the house, they would probably be watching this tie because it's asymmetrical. It's a half Windsor instead of a full Windsor, so it's not the same on each side. So it's just one of those things. But no, I don't go to church like this often. I just go a little more casual. So don't let this suit and this tie and this old Bible get you concerned. That somebody from the ancient past is speaking to us. Somebody from another generation, another time warp, because we're here together. But, you know, John and Phyllis and this church did do so much for us, and it's a testimony for you to grab a hold of. If you've been a longtime member, a longtime participant in the house here, God bless you for your faithfulness and your loyalty to John and John Jr. and John Sr. as well and their families. Thank you so much for that. If you're new to the house, I encourage you to grab a hold of others and find out what their story is about how this house has ministered to them. I remember many years ago we went to Bible college, and that Bible college is a great place, but it really tried to fill me with the right doctrine, the right teachings, and tried to fill me with the right techniques and the right methods. But when I graduated and I came down here to be with this house in Ottawa, I received the heart of the Father. through this man, John Jr. I believe God did say, I think I'm going to send a representative of the Father's heart. And what did he do? He sent John Nordstrom Sr. If you've ever interacted with John Nordstrom Sr., you know he was a tender-hearted warrior who was just relentless in his care and nurture for us. I heard something at the funeral. Maybe you were here too. It was one of his sons. I think it was Paul, who reminded us of how his dad would say, and this was rubbed off on me as well. Mike, I'm not going to push you. I'm not going to pull you, but I will walk with you. And that is the tenderness of a father's heart. You see, Jesus Christ wants you to be healthy and happy and fulfilled and walk in your purpose and destiny today. How many want that?
Amen.
I mean, you want to be able to say, I'm doing the very thing that the Father had in mind when he created me in my mama's belly. Wherever that was and whenever that was, I want to be able to say, I'm doing what I was created for.
Amen.
Because when you can say you're doing what you're created for, there's energy there in the spirit that just transcends all human ability and power and might and strength. You can run through a troop and jump over a wall, as David said. So this house is for you. This house is in your corner and here to be a solid rock for you as we move forward. I wanted to thank John for this privilege of being here, John. You called me up and I said, are you serious? And John said, I wouldn't have called you if I wasn't serious. But I do thank you, John, for the opportunity, the invitation to be here with you guys. And at the time, I felt like, you as a group have gone through a transition. It's like it's a hinge point in history for you because of the loss of a key figure, loss of a father's heart. But let me tell you, that father did a good job leaving many other fathers behind. And you will find great comfort in that. But as we move forward, God has given this church a mission. And I believe now is the time for us to focus upon our mission, to really realize that this is an inflection point right now, and it is mission critical. It's almost as though we we're at that point in a race where the baton is in our hand, and what are we going to do? Are we going to let go? Are we going to fumble it? Are we going to drop it? One of the most critical points in any relay race is what? Start? No. It's the handoff. Mm-hmm. It's that moment in time between one segment to the next segment. And that's kind of where we are today in somewhat of a sense. Adequate, powerful, dynamic leadership in place right now. But yet, there is something reverberating in us today that God wants to accentuate. He wants us to understand that mission critical is right now. And when we think about a mission in the world today, what would be a critical issue in our physical world? Well, I ask the same question. What would be a critical issue for society today? Well, two physical things would be, well, how about the air traffic controllers?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a critical mission? Sure is. How about our electric grid? Is that a critical issue right now? Is that mission critical? Yes, it is. And when it comes to us as a church, having the power of prayer resident upon us, that prayer is a first priority. It is like that's the air traffic control. Because you see, as you can pray the blessings of the Lord. You can pray back the darkness by asking God to send light and you being that light, bearing that light into the world in which you live. You also have the ability to say, you're not landing here. You're not landing here. Circle around. You're not going to land here. And sometimes the enemy wants to bring thoughts and ideas and problems and issues into your life. And prayer is a critical issue right now. Mm-hmm. God, we just pray that you would send the enemy packing right now. If he has any plans or designs on this house to destroy or disrupt, we say you have no right here. Nehemiah says it to the believers that you have no right nor lot nor memorial in Jerusalem. So you're out of here.
Amen.
Because of the prayer force, the air traffic controllers, that's who you are. Keep your prayer wheels rolling. Keep your prayer knees warm because God is asking you to pray harder now and more frequently and continually. Have a continual prayer life going on, because His power is what we need today as well.
Amen.
See, it's not about human might, not by might nor by power of physical strength that we have within ourselves, which isn't too much, but the Spirit of God. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's so critical right now for us to say, I don't depend upon myself. I don't depend upon my own understanding. Paul in Colossians chapter 1 said these words. He says, I labor according to the power which works mightily in me. Are we aware that the Holy Spirit is working mightily in us? Sometimes we think, oh, it's just little old me. What can God do through me? Do you realize you have about the equivalent of a nuclear power plant within you? Wow. Years ago, I worked in a little company called Zypex Waterproofing, and there was a power plant being raised up over near Chicago, and I was invited to come over and take a look at that thing to waterproof concrete. And while I was there, the gentleman said, come on, would you like to see the reaction chamber? I said, oh, I would love to see the reaction chamber. So he led me up a few steps and into this thing that looked like a little orbiter, a spaceship, and walked in there, and he says, right up above us, right here, these are the tubes that the rods will be exposed. They'll come down and shoot, and there'll be a radioactive interaction happening right here, and this will generate the heat that will produce the electricity. And I could just say, whoa. Right there where it all happens. And you see, right here, put your hands on your own heart. Right here is where it happens.
Amen.
This is where the Holy Spirit speaks. This is where the Holy Spirit inspires. This is where the Holy Spirit brings revelation and vision for your life today. I encourage you. See, so mission critical is important. Mission provision and mission vision. All of those are very essential. You see, it's very important that we continued on in the work of God, because He will provide for us all along the way. Matthew chapter, did I give you Matthew chapter 6, brothers? Which verse did I give you? There it is. Is that right? Jesus came. Well, let's go on a little farther. Let's just forget all those notes. I've already messed up my notes anyway, so. Just be certain of who you are worshiping today, because He is the God of all. It's when it comes to provision. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, a guy who just denied Christ, but now filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered and clothed with power from on high, stands up and he says, men and brethren, hear these words with great imperative and urgent mood. God, through that man, Peter began to declare, I want all the house of Israel to know assuredly. I want all the house of Israel to know confidently and for certain. What do you want us to know? And he goes on and says, David's tomb is over there. Just as sure as I can tell you, it's over there. I want you to know that it was through the seed of David that this Jesus was spoken of and prophesied that His kingdom would never end. And it is this same Jesus who you have crucified with your wicked hands. Peter goes on and says, this same Jesus is now both Lord and Christ. And he says, let all the house of Israel know that He is Lord, provider, and Christ anointed. He will do what He said He will do. There's a time coming in the apostles' life after Jesus was crucified. And they weren't exactly sure what they were going to do. And so Peter goes, I'm just going to go fishing. I'm just going to go fishing. Now, I don't know exactly what was going on in Peter's mind. Maybe he was overwhelmed with so many events happening that particular weekend. Maybe it was just greater than he could bear. And so he said, I just got to get away from here and sort this out. And I hope it wasn't the fact that he decided that this mission can wait. This thing that Jesus wants us to do, we can just let it drift. And this is one of the dangers for us as an organization or as a church or as a family, to let our purpose and plan, our purpose and desires for God just to become drifting. God, help us not to enter in. We reject mission drift, don't we?
Amen.
Praise God. I don't know exactly how much time we have, but I'm going to be bringing this thing to a close here in just a little bitty bit. Mission intentional is very, very important. First Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Do we have those guys? If not, I'm just going to go ahead and read them. As each one has received a special gift, reading from the New American Standard Version, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified. See, God has passed out gifts. Every one of us in this house have spiritual gifts. If you've been born again, with that new birth comes a download of spiritual gifts that are unique to you. Unique to you. When he mixes your gift with your personality and your temperament, all of a sudden there's a combination of ingredients right there that is unique from every other person on the planet Earth. That's heavy. That's big. That makes you unique. That makes you special. That makes you have a personal mission that God has in place for you. And he wants you to be intentional about what you do with that. In John chapter 6, verse 15, verse 5 through 13, Jesus was speaking away, and all of a sudden there was the realization that the day had gone by and everybody was hungry. And all of a sudden, they started looking at each other, 5,000 people or more. How are we going to feed these people? Scripture says in John chapter 6 that Jesus said some things to test them. He said, "Well, guys, what do you have? Well, guys, what do you have? What do we have? We don't have enough money to buy food sufficient for these people." And all of a sudden, I think it was Andrew came up and said, "You know, we got this boy here. I just was talking to him. He came over and offered me these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. This is all we have, but that's not much among so many people." Jesus said, "Bring it to me. Bring it to me." Now, as a result of that offering, 5,000 people were fed a miraculous dinner, similar to what's going to happen at 11:45 today. A miraculous dinner served out of the abundance of love and passion and mission to serve others. But you see, what is the point of the story of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Jesus was asking them, "What do you have? What will you bring to me? If you'll just give it to me, I have ways of blessing that and making that multiply and have a great impact upon your world, and your eyes will pop out as you watch God do some marvelous things through you just because you offer yourself to him." Praise God. You do a good job around here in this house, offering yourself to him. So all these things today that I'm speaking to you of are not charges. They're encouragements to carry on. Carry on and keep going, because you're doing what's right and you're doing what's well done, good and faithful servant. For now is the time for us to bind together and to really go for the next level of anointing that God has for this house. Praise God. Final